एकांतलाभं वचसोऽनुपुंसाम् सुश्लोकमूले गुणवादमाहुः श्रुतेश्च विद्वाद्भिरुपाकृतायाम् तथा सुधायाम् उपसंप्रयोगम् The highest professional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages, that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The impersonalists are very much afraid of hearing the activities of the Lord, because they think that the happiness derived from the transcendental situation of Brahman is the ultimate goal of life. They think that anyone's activity, even that of the personality of Godhead, is mundane. But the idea of happiness indicated in this verse is different because it relates to the activities of the Supreme Personality, who has transcendental qualities. The word gunavadam is significant because the qualities of the Lord and His activities and pastimes are the subject matter for the discussions of devotees. A rishi like Maitreya is certainly not interested in discussing anything pertaining to mundane qualities. Yet, he says that the highest perfectional stage of transcendental realization is to discuss the Lord's activities. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore concludes that topics regarding the transcendental activities of the Lord are far beyond the transcendental realization of Kaivalya happiness. These transcendental activities of the Lord are so arranged in writing by the great sages that simply by hearing of those narrations one becomes perfectly self-realized, and the proper use of the ear and the tongue is also achieved. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of such great literatures, and the highest perfectional stage of life is attained simply by hearing and reciting its content. Perfectional stage, the highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages, that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Is honored throughout Vedic literatures as a great self-realized soul. He is speaking not only according to the great scriptures, but with realization. When a person repeats the message of the scripture with realization of its content, even more transcendental potency is disseminated. the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadev Goswami. He heard the contents of Bhagavat from his father, Vedavyas. But because of Sukadev Goswami's transcendental realizations of pure unalloyed devotional service, even though he repeated the same message, it was even sweeter and more transcendentally blissful to the ears of those who hear it. Some people may question that the original text of Bhagavatam, the original Sanskrit of the great acharyas who have made commentaries, it would be so wonderful if we had direct access to that. Which means essentially being a very great scholar of the Sanskrit language. However, Srila Prabhupada has very carefully meditated upon, transcendentally digested within the very core of his soul, the texts of the Bhagavatam, as well as all of the principal commentaries of the greatest commentators. And then he wrote his Bhaktivedanta purports. It is a transcendental sound vibration. And he put this in English language out of great, great compassion for all fallen souls. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire was that his message be delivered to every town and village throughout all of the planet. Lord Chaitanya's message is not simply for Bengal and Orissa. It is not simply for India. It is for all living beings, because we are all eternally servants of Krishna. We have all forgotten our service to the Lord. And his message is to bring us back to our constitutional nature of pure unalloyed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was certainly a scholar of Sanskrit, also of Bengali. He also spoke most fluent Hindi. He could have written his commentaries in so many languages. But his Guru Maharaj especially instructed him, preach in English language. Because that is the language that is most influential to all living beings throughout the entire world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, with great, great effort, he translated each and every word of the Bhagavatam in his word-for-word translations. Then he gave the translation and purport in such a way that this transcendental message of the Bhagavatam could be thoroughly understood by people all over the world. Now we know English is a Malecha and Yavana language. It is not considered a very advanced language at all. From every point of view, its grammar is totally crazy. It makes very little sense. Every rule that is within the English language, there are innumerable exceptions to the rule. Just the pronunciation of the English language makes very little sense. Just like the word pneumonia, it begins with a P. If you were to say to someone the pronunciation that's actually correct, They would think you're illiterate if you said P. pneumonia. Actually, even some computer geniuses, they searched all over the world for the most perfect language that's phonetically absolutely correct, and they said the only language is Sanskrit. They have come to this conclusion. So English is a very, very primitive, Malecha-like language. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is written in the highest, most pristine language of Sanskrit. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was written, the very words, the very language that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally spoke, Bengali. And it's decorated with so many beautiful Sanskrit verses. So why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati asked Srila Prabhupada to preach and translate, print and distribute books in English language, one of the lowest of all languages? It is a language which is spoken by people who have illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And its origin comes from Roman alphabet, and we all know the history of Rome. They were such cruel, barbaric people. The whole Roman Empire fell down because of homosexuality and because of so much degradation and overeating and overdrinking liquors. Hare Krishna. And then there's the British. Hare Krishna. And the English language that is known throughout the world is not even proper British language. King's English. The people of England, when they hear how the Americans talk, they call it pigeon English. Yes, it sounds like pigeons making sounds the way they talk. So Srila Prabhupada wrote in this language, under the order of his spiritual master, because of his great compassion. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is everyone hears about Krishna. Everyone chants his holy names. Everyone understands that we are the eternal servants of Krishna, and devotional service is the ultimate perfection of life. Therefore, it was on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, coming through disciplic succession from his spiritual master, that Srila Prabhupada painstakingly did like this. And because it was done under the authority of God with such immense love, devotion, and compassion to every spirit soul, therefore, the transcendental power of Krishna manifested in these English words in his books like no other way. It is equal to or better than any other language because of the content of compassion. We certainly cannot say that Srila Prabhupada's English commentaries are better than Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sridhar Swami's Sanskrit commentaries. But we can say that they are absolutely non-different, and all the potencies of all of these previous acharyas are coming through his translations, plus the very special element of his empowered position as the most compassionate acharya, to be the first person in history to bring this message to every continent of the planet Earth. People can easily not understand this. Oftentimes we meet people, sadhus, scholars, and they say if you want to actually be advanced in spiritual life, you must learn the Sanskrit language. You must. It is necessary, preliminary. No doubt it would be very valuable. However, they do not understand the nature of the Lord's transcendental potency through parampara. The full potency of all the Sanskrit texts of the Vedas, plus more, is manifesting to those who read Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports. Parampara is not based simply on grammar or language. It is ultimately based on devotion. And Srila Prabhupada's books have been translated into hundreds of languages. African languages like Swahili, German language. When Prabhupada had heard Germans, he said, it sounds like a language of dogs growling at each other. Hare Krishna, please forgive me, but I'm just repeating the words of my Guru Maharaj. When he heard the French language, he said, it sounds like a language of people having sex with each other. When he heard the Italian language, he had another commentary. And the English is the combination of all these languages. So his books have been translated, and wherever they are being translated, in a spirit of devotion to bring out his message, it has the same transcendental power of the Vedas through the grace of parampara or disciplic succession. And hearing this message is the ultimate perfection of life. This is the conclusion of Sri Maitreya Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this world and performs many activities and also gives personally instructions. And Vedavyas has compiled these instructions. And other great souls like Vrindavan Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami have compiled the life and teachings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations. And the great acharyas have repeated and explained according to their own transcendental realizations in parampara. And this message is so potent that it can deliver us from all miseries. Therefore, to be eager to hear and eager to repeat what we have heard is the real path of salvation. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that whatever one's occupation, if it does not bring about a transcendental taste to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then your occupation is shrameva hi kevalam. It is a useless waste of time. Whatever we do should be to cultivate an eagerness to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. To the degree we develop a taste for hearing and chanting, to that degree we become detached from the sources of misery of material life. Therefore, this must be our goal. When Krishna sees that we are really hungry for that taste of hearing and chanting, from within the heart he dispels all ignorance and illusion. Just like if you have not had food for a long time or water, you are very hungry and thirsty, and nothing else will satisfy you. If you are starving of hunger and thirst, and someone gives you a very nice gold necklace, will you be happy with it? You may try to eat it, and if you can't eat it, it will be useless to you. If you're hungry and someone comes and gives you 1 crore of rupee notes, 500 rupee notes, and there's no place to buy food, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said you cannot eat paper. So it will be completely useless to you. If you're hungry like that, nothing will have any meaning to you except food. The whole world will just be a dreary void without food. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam. We should have that same hunger and thirst for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. When we have that thirst for Krishna through transcendental sound vibration, then all the temptations of Maya become useless to us. There's no charm. So to accept what is favorable for developing that higher taste for hearing and chanting is our real duty in life. Whatever our occupation may be, we should orchestrate it, balance, and organize our life in such a way that day by day we are increasing our taste to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is human civilized consciousness. Not that we put aside the path of self-realization to achieve more and more and more material benefits. That is foolishness. Sometimes our students, they're so busy studying. I can't go any higher, but they go higher. Because they're so much afraid that they will fail their exams, that they will not get entrance into a good school. Therefore, let me put aside my chanting and let me put aside my hearing. Let me put aside Krishna. They are not afraid of death. They are not afraid of losing their position in the spiritual world. They're not afraid of uselessly failing as a human being. This is foolishness. It is ignorance in the guise of knowledge. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a beautiful song about this, Vidyaravilase. Such a sweet song. If you don't know the language, Vidyaravilase, it sounds like such a sweet song describing the dancing of Radha and Krishna. But if someone translates it for you, it's a great shock. Vidyaravilase. And then we read the translation after everyone's like this. Very nice. It's nice that it's in Bengali, because the Hindi-speaking people, English people, they're thinking, oh yes, Krishna's dancing with Radharani, and everyone's like this. And then you translate. Talking about me. He's calling me an ass, a beast of burden. That all my life I've been studying these mundane subject matters, carrying these books and learning and learning, and now that I have come old, I realize all of my knowledge is simply ignorance. And all my studies, all my academics have just made me a stupid, foolish ass. And the more I learn, the more my heart burns with misery.
Hare Krishna.
Let me take shelter of hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So after hearing this description of the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some of you may be asking why we do not permit you to leave college, even though you want to join the ashram. Is it that we want you to just remain a foolish ass with the terribly painful burden of academic knowledge crushing your head? Yes. That's part of the reason that you learned good lesson, so you don't want to come back to this material world again. But the actual reason is because it can be used in Krishna's service. Because your education, your knowledge, your academic abilities can be used very wonderfully in Krishna's service. But it will only be used in Krishna's service if you're developing a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Otherwise, it will simply be used in the service of Maya. So at every phase of life, whatever we may be doing, we should always keep our target to perform those activities which will gradually give me the power to become more hungry for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Because hearing and chanting is like medicine. It is real food. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, just as you need food grains to give you strength materially, you need the food grains for your soul to give you spiritual strength is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. And whatever our pursuits may be to serve the Lord, studying may be a service to the Lord, business may be a service to the Lord, preaching may be a service to the Lord, we will have spiritual strength to perform it properly when we are sufficiently hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Without hearing and chanting, nothing will have spiritual substance. Even worshipping the deities. Worshipping the deities is such a direct service to the personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, just before Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world, it was in the middle of the night. Everyone was sleeping. And he was laying on his bed. He couldn't even sit up. It's just weeks before he left this world. He called for his secretary. The secretary was sleeping near his bed. He woke up. He said, "Bring me the pujari." The secretary ran, looking for where the pujari was sleeping. Pujari was sound asleep. He woke him up. "Srila Prabhupada wants to meet with you immediately." And Pujari, he got up. He was bewildered. Bewildered, but very blissful. And also fearful. He explained the story to me. "Does Prabhupada want to chastise me? Does Prabhupada want to... what is he? He's never woken me up in the middle of the night to see me." So the pujari came running down to Prabhupada's bed. He offered his dandavat pranam and got up, and Srila Prabhupada rubbed his head and said, "You are the most fortunate. The pujari is so fortunate because he is so close to Krishna. But we must understand this in a proper context. In 1972, when Srila Prabhupada visited New Vrindavan, he was looking at the beautiful deity of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And with his voice almost choked with loving emotion, he began to praise the beauty of the deities. He said, these deities, he said, they are so beautiful and they are so merciful that just to attract all the Americans, they have appeared in the form looking just like the most beautiful American boy and girl. And he was appreciating the wonderful standard of deity worship. But then he gave a very, very sober instruction that there are two paths on the bhakti marg. There is pancharatriki vidhi, which is worshipping this deity and performing all various sevas for the deity. Actually, all the sevas in the temple are service for the deity. And there is bhagavad dharma, which is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada said, bhagavad dharma means sravanam kirtanam Vishnu. Not just sravanam kirtanam. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. And then he said, direct Vishnu. Directly hearing the chant, the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names. He said, if you are not very strictly, carefully and attentively hearing and chanting directly the names and glories of the Lord, then the day will come when even the pujaris in the temple and the other devotees will begin to look at the deities and think, why has my Guru Maharaj left me with the burden of having to take care of these deities? Srila Prabhupada warned us, it is inevitable. Unless we develop a taste for hearing and chanting, we cannot develop a real taste for any of the other objects of devotional service. So we must be eager to hear and eager to chant with regulation. Nasta prayeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhagavati naishtuki. Every day we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam as a regulation. Srila Prabhupada describes that of all instructions, the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds every day is most important. And anyone who is not attentively chanting Maha Mantra every day at any moment may be a victim of Maya. Whatever other service we're doing, we may be the pujari, we may be preaching, we may be book distributors, we may be temple presidents, GBCs, or any other position. Prabhupada warned, if you are not attentively chanting Maha Mantra every day, you may be victim to Maya at any moment. Unless we are hearing the glories of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, regularly and attentively, our intelligence can be stolen away at any moment by material energy. We must be very attentive and careful in this regard. It is a matter of spiritual life and death. It is not a convenience. It is not, today I have time, I will read something. But today I do not have time because I am very busy. That should not be our consciousness. It should be, it is a matter of life or death. If something is life or death to you, is it a matter of whether you have time? It is a matter of you will make time. If we understand how serious we must be. Srinvatam sukata krishna pundis ravana kirtana. When we develop a taste for hearing and chanting, Krishna is so pleased. He removes all of the shortcomings and the impurities from within our heart. You cannot remove your ego. You cannot remove your lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusions. They are insurmountable. But if you somehow or other develop an eagerness to hear and chant, an eagerness to serve the message that you are hearing and chanting, Krishna will do it for you. It is his promise. But the nature of the mind is so unsteady, chanchalam, that sometimes we are eager to hear and chant, and sometimes we are bored. Hare Krishna. Sometimes we're just in the mood because we're a little more influenced by sattva guna. Oh yes, I want to go to the temple to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. I want to chant my rounds today so nicely. And other days, rajaguna influences us. And we think, yes, yes, I like this hearing and chanting very much, but I have so many other occupations I must do. I must talk to this person and I must make this meeting and I must get more money. Busy, busy, busy. And sometimes tamaguna influences us.
I went to Bhagavatam class yesterday. There's no need to go today. Better I sleep.
It's time to chant japa.
Somehow I'll get it over with.
Actually, this chanting japa, I've been doing it for so many years, it's becoming boring. When will the next yuga come so there'll be another yuga dharma? How long do I have to wait to just go on with this same yuga dharma? And this maha mantra. Same mantra. How long will it remain maha? The mind says, so we're not very eager to hear and chant. But yet the price of Krishna is to be eager to hear and chant. Therefore, we must show Krishna we want to be eager to hear and chant. And how is that possible? By acting eager as an austerity. No matter what our mind is telling us, we will run to the temple to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We will run to the kirtan of the holy name. We will run to our japa beads. And we will be chanting with all our might, with all of the intention that we can possibly give to the holy name. We'll be enthusiastic. We'll put life into what we give. Even if we feel nothing, we will do as an austerity to please Krishna, to show him we want it. And when Krishna sees we really want it, then he will give us that higher taste for hearing and chanting. And also Srimad Bhagavatam describes that by serving great souls, by sincerely serving their instructions, in a mood of humility, Krishna is pleased by that service and give us the higher taste for hearing and chanting. Some people want to become bhajanandis. They think, I have such a taste for hearing and chanting. Let me just be like Haridas Thakur and chant so many lakhs of Maha Mantra every day. Hare Krishna. People have done like this. Srila Prabhupada explained they are in illusion. Because that taste for hearing and chanting will be only a shadow unless we are engaged in service. Unless we have a humble desire to serve Guru and serve Vaishnavas. So there is a wonderful process given to us. The service of the order of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is everyone's spiritual master in a Hare Krishna movement. And he has many representatives repeating his words. His instruction is our life and soul. Be eager, anxious to read his books, to hear the devotees discussing these books in classes, to chant your japa, to chant in kirtan, to take prasad, and to serve in every possible way. Just by following this process attentively with our hearts, we will please Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. And then Krishna gives us to taste the hunger, the thirst to hear and chant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the qualities of the supreme most devotee. He was starving for hearing the glories of the Lord. He would ask Brahmananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, please chant these songs glorifying Krishna. Please recite Srimad Bhagavatam to me. One time when Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he came to one village and there was one man reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing the slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam being read with such enthusiasm and devotion, he fell into ecstasy. He began to weep and cry. His limbs began to tremble. And he began to call out with such affection to that devotee. He said, read it again. Go on reciting. Go on reciting. The devotee continued reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in ecstasy as Srimad Bhagavatam was being narrated. And he did this for 8 hours. And after every sloka, Mahaprabhu was saying, go on reading, go on reading, go on reciting. And he went on reciting. Mahaprabhu was dancing and crying, go on reciting, recite, go on. This was his taste, his hunger to hear Bhagavatam. I don't see anyone dancing now. We've only been speaking for half hour. We have no taste. But Lord Chaitanya, he had such a taste, they couldn't get enough. We're thinking, when will this recitation end? I want food. I want sleep. I want to talk to my wife. We have so many desires. But Mahaprabhu, he didn't want any of these things. Go on reciting! 8 hours went by. Never ended. Finally, the devotee said, please, please, my lord. They had to stop him. He would have gone on eternally. Recite, recite. The ambrosial nectar of Bhagavatam. He embraced the reciter. Every now and then, as he was dancing in ecstatic love and the devotee was reciting, Mahaprabhu would just embrace him and bathe him with tears, and the devotee would start trembling in ecstasy, and then he would go on reciting. This was such a wonderful pastime. And after it was all came to its conclusion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great love, he said, from this day I give you the name Bhagavat Acharya, the true teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what we are longing for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played in Shikshastakam. When will, upon the recitation of your name, my Lord Krishna, when will tears pour like rivers from my eyes? When will my hair stand on end, my limbs tremble, and my voice get choked up? Kabe habe bolo de se din amar. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays, when will that day be mine? When I can truly be more humble than a braid of grass, only then will I have the real taste for chanting the holy names. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishnana amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When you are humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then the true taste for hearing and chanting awakens in your heart. Kirtaneya sadahari. Then day and night you just want to hear and chant. So we must render humble service. We must carry out the orders, but the first order is chant attentively your 16 rounds every single day with a strict vow. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the various Vaishnava scriptures every day with a vow. It is life or death. It is emergency. This world is a burning fire. There's no time to wait. We may have many other duties and responsibilities, but they must be secondary to our hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. If we are irresponsible in our secondary duties, then we are not proper devotees. We must be responsible in all our duties, but we must put maximum emphasis on our primary duties, hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting His holy name. And our great longing should always be with those devotees who have a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We shouldn't have a taste for devotees who gossip. Sometimes our lower nature has this lower taste. We're actually attracted. Even during kirtan, if people are talking, I think, my heart is just longing to go over there and hear what they're saying. Or during japa, you're chanting Maha Mantra, your vow, and you see some people talking, and you know they must be talking some gossip. And you're just, when will I be able to just go and enjoy the nectar of what they're talking about? What is the latest news in the
grapevine of gossipers.
We have taste for these things due to previous conditionings or mundane things. Sometimes we're chanting japa and someone's reading newspaper. And we're thinking, God, let me get my rounds done so I could see what's in the paper. I have such a taste, such an eagerness to find out what's in the newspaper. And this chanting is somehow or other standing between me and the newspaper. But I have to do it. But I'll chant later. I have to see what's in the newspaper now. Have any of you ever had this experience? Even you. I never would have known you. Krishna has revealed. We should understand that we should always be eager to be with those people who remind us of Krishna. Eager to be with those people who tell us about Krishna. Eager to be with those people who help us become Krishna conscious. More serious about Krishna conscious. We should be running for such association as an austerity. Even if we don't feel like it, we should do it as an austerity. That is what Maitreya Muni is speaking in this verse. The highest perfectional gain of humanity is to engage in discussions of the activities and glories of the pious actor. Such activities are so nicely arranged in writing by the greatly learned sages that the actual purpose of the ear is served just by being near them. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
So much importance has been given on hearing and chanting. If a neophyte devotee who has just settled himself a little bit in Krishna consciousness, if he maintains a vow that he will be doing this hearing and chanting every day, but sometime by some inconceivable way he gets some spare time, and in that spare time, before that he has already completed his vows of hearing and chanting, and if he gets some spare time, in that spare time he should give more emphasis on hearing on that time, or he should give more emphasis on chanting? What will benefit more him in spiritual life at that time?
Both. Either one or both. The idea is that either one will help you remember Krishna. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam, it purifies, reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam purifies one person's soul. But because of our conditions, we are so choosy, you know, who's giving class. We feel that, you know, we are very eager to hear some people, but most of the time we are not eager to hear from, you know. So how do we train ourselves that we should be always be eager? Whoever speaks, because they are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam.
Would you like to give class? We are eager to hear you give class. If you are eager to hear her give class, say Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Some people are only eager to hear their own classes. But this is not correct. Srila Prabhupada was eager to hear the classes even of his disciples. Because the message is transcendental. We should perceive coming to Bhagavatam class not for our enjoyment, but for our purification. You may enjoy one person's class, but if a person is authoritatively repeating the message of Parampara, he will become purified. We should be eager for that purification. It is the instruction that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If people are actually authorized to speak the Bhagavatam according to Parampara, to serve that instruction, we should be eager to hear from them for our purification. We may or may not enjoy it with our mind, but our soul becomes purified by following that instruction. So we should be thinking more in terms of purification than mental enjoyment. It is the mind that is very particular and choosy. We don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam to satisfy our mind. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam to please Krishna in our heart. And even if you don't like so much the style of the speaker, if he's repeating the proper message, if he's a representative of Parampara, then we should hear for the pleasure of Krishna in our heart, because that is how we become purified, by pleasing Krishna in our heart. Does that answer your question?
Reading and hearing lectures actually is one and the same thing, but still when we hear it is more interesting, and when we open the book we fall sleepy. Tendency when we open the book is to, like, my experience is to, I feel sleepy very fast, but if I'm hearing lecture, I don't feel that way.
In my experience is many people feel sleepy during lectures also.
The frequency is less.
When you're in the audience, you do not see everyone's face. You don't see what level their eyelids are at. But when you're giving class and everyone is facing to you, you can see the various levels of the eyelids. But they are both necessary. They are both regulative principles we must follow. It is very essential, if we have the capacity to read, that we should read every day. And it is essential that we hear the classes on a regular basis. It is never one instead of the other. They are both required.
Is hearing in the class and hearing the tape same or is different?
It is simultaneously one and different. Hearing the tape, certainly the sound vibration is the same as what is in the class. So it is very, very purifying and very important whenever the opportunity is there. However, when you're in a class and there's a satsang of so many devotees, all offering their combined devotional attention to the speaker, that atmosphere is very, very important. It is very special and very purifying to our heart. Does that answer your question? Hearing tapes is very important, but it cannot substitute for going to the classes. It should be there. Whenever the opportunity, wherever we are, if we listen to tapes, it will be very, very wonderful. But still, coming to the class and being in the association of many devotees, all utilizing their combined devotional efforts to reciprocate with the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a very purifying environment. we should be eager to participate in whenever possible. Yes.
You spoke about how we should make a commitment almost to hear and read every day of our lives, make it a first priority. Now, in some of us in our lives, we lead such a terrible working schedule that we are never really able to, you know, come into the class is out of question. We are not able to come to Bhagavatam class at all. Now, even hearing becomes very difficult. We get very little time during the day to really hear. So the only thing we can do is maybe read for some time during the day. That's all we get to do. So how should we deal with it? How should we deal with this situation?
You should put a tremendous amount of attention in that reading that you are able to do in the day. When the opportunity is there, you should run to hear the satsang. When the opportunity is there, you should turn on tape and hear transcendental sound vibration. When the opportunity is there, you should pick up the book and read with great, great eagerness. So whenever the opportunity comes, we should be eager to take it. But we must hear every day. Are transcendental varieties of how we hear, and they are all very important. It is best to do all of them whenever possible. Is there any other questions?
We tend to become a bit serious about chanting and hearing, but we find that my friends around me are much more relaxed and they're not so serious. And just to go away chanting my japa without interacting them is also disturbing to the heart. So how should...
It is disturbing to who?
In a sense, just to impersonally go away with my japa without mixing with them, without... It sort of feels rude. How should we deal with this situation?
You are asking that your friends do not want to chant japa.
Yeah.
And by going away to chant, it is rude to them. Hare Krishna.
Friends in the sense devotees. Other devotees.
Other devotees?
Yeah. They are much more relaxed. But I have a desire to become more serious and chant at that time.
Hare Krishna. Actually, by not doing your japa due to the influence of others, you are actually being rude to them. Hare Krishna. Because Krishna is in their hearts, and he's in your heart. And if Krishna sees that these devotees' relaxed situation is making you relaxed, it's going to harm their spiritual progress. If during japa, when we come here into the temple, we all chant in the temple together, if someone's talking, and they're distracting other people from the chanting by that talking, they're actually displeasing Krishna. Correct? If during kirtan people are talking, they're displeasing Krishna because they're distracting people's attention away from the prescribed regulation of hearing and chanting. So if people are not strict about chanting, and you want to be strict, if you let them divert your attention away, you're hurting their spiritual lives. You are being rude to their soul. Hare Krishna. But at the same time, you should do things in a humble way. You should not be proud. You should not think, I am an advanced devotee who have a taste for chanting, and you are all nonsense. Because you do not know what is in their hearts. Rather, you, with great humility, you should just explain, I must chant my japa with full concentration. Please excuse me. If they are offended by that, when it's presented humbly, then there's something wrong. So don't worry. You should seek out the association mostly of those who are very serious to inspire you and enliven you to take shelter of the holy names. In others, you should try to serve and respect other devotees, but we should not allow them in any way to distract our attention from seriously hearing and chanting. You can do it without being rude. You can do it with humility and respect. Correct? We should always be humble and respectful to Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.